The title of my message today is All Are Welcome. I'm going to be using various scriptures, but the main one I want to talk about is James 4. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lord God, it's all about you, Jesus. You indeed need to be the center of it all. We look at this one verse, Lord God. As we look at discipleship this year, we need to continually draw near to you. We need to embrace your word. We need to talk to you. We need to trust you when it's hard. Let us draw near to you. But I find that when I do that, Lord, regardless of what I encounter, I have your peace. I may be emotionally distraught, to be honest, but deep down inside, I have the peace of the Lord, Father, and I thank you for that. So I pray that you would really move and touch us today, God. In your name, amen. You know, I heard a real cool testimony this week. I was watching this podcast, and this big hunting redneck type of a guy goes to this church, and he opens up the bulletin, and it brought tears to his eyes because it said, "We're going to have a potluck supper." That can bring tears to my eyes, too. When I had him up in Copenhagen, I learned one thing. Do not ask what's in the stew. That's all I'm going to say. Some people had recipes for groundhog. Don't know what I ate. I didn't ask. It's like when I went on mission trips to Ghana. Just eat it. Now, so he reads the bulletin. Said, hey, on this date, potluck supper, everyone is welcome. And those words, everyone is welcome. It just did something to him. Because his life had been a mess. He had done things he wished he hadn't done. He just felt like an outcast. And you know what it's like when we're not doing good, the devil likes to whisper in our ears, that man, ain't nobody loving you, boy. But he read the word, and it changed his life. And that's what we have to be. All are welcome at New Covenant Community Church. It doesn't mean we're going to compromise morally. It doesn't mean we're going to move away from the truth of the scriptures, but it means we have to love everybody. Just as it meant so much to this man that he was included, he had believed a lie. Do you know how many people I talk to that they have poor self-esteem and they believe a lie because life hasn't been great and the enemy has lied, and maybe somebody in their past has defined them in a way that's not true? God is defining us this way. I sent my son for you. So we have to know that the Bible tells us believers have to be known by their love. New Covenant, this is one of your strengths. Now, one thing I'm going to encourage us about is I do want us to quit the holy huddles. And what I mean by that, after church, don't talk to your friends. They're your friends. You can call them during the week. Reach out to people. After a while, you can talk to your friends. I like the Paul Wagner rule, who started this church years ago. Don't talk to anybody you really know closely for 5 minutes after the service. Yes, I know this football game's on this afternoon. You don't have to talk about it. There was a college football game championship Monday night, two teams, which I really don't care for. It doesn't matter. But you know what's cool? And I'm not going to mention it's been 1,883 days since Ohio State beat Michigan. So I'm not even going to talk about that. But you know what's cool about that championship? How many of these college kids said, this is where I can tell people about Jesus Christ? These young 20-year-old people were in the biggest game of their life, and I was astounded by the number of testimonies I read. And I can't remember, one of the star players for Ohio State said, okay, the game is fantastic, but this is a platform for me to be able to share my faith with people. That's what's important. Everybody's welcome. We're not going to compromise. I don't care. I can meet with the vilest of the vilest. You can't take my salvation. Greater is he who's in me. I don't get intimidated. I remember once I was talking to this guy. He was working on my house. He's part of a work crew. And something went wrong, so he came back by himself. We're talking. I'm giving him my card, you know. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a biker, and the people I hang out with. I said, I'm sorry, man. That don't intimidate me. You're not scaring me. God loves you. I don't care where you're at. And that's what I want everybody to know. You can come in here, and we love it. We need to be well. When you come to New Covenant, I want you to be welcomed, but I want you to be relieved, because you're going to find the truth of Jesus Christ. And you're going to hear the love of God, somebody who loves you more than anybody could possibly love you. And if you embrace that love, you're going to be relieved. Just like the people we just prayed for, they have a relief because they know Jesus Christ. And guess what? I will breathe my last on this earth and become room temperature. But I'm going to be dancing with God. I'm going to be having a good old time for eternity. One thing we have to be is you got to be genuine. Don't play the game. Genuine. There's a song by Hillsong that says, break my heart for what breaks yours. And that's a prayer that I pray a lot. Let me, Lord, be captured by your emotions for the lost. I can look at people, maybe they're down and out, maybe they're this, maybe they're that, and I can be judgmental. Yeah, you can be too, let's be honest. But I pray, Lord, give me your heart for the lost. I want to love the unlovely. Read the book of James. It's easy to love the rich people. How about the people that come in? Maybe they need a bath. Maybe they needed a bath a month ago. Maybe they don't have any friends. Maybe they're whatever. We need to love them. So I pray, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Because when I think about this, I pray, Lord, is that true? Is my heart captured the way it should be? Because I want to be. For my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, Paul writes, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. When I was a young Christian and I read this verse, it rocked my world. Why would you give up eternity with Jesus Christ? And one day I'm driving down Union Street in Morrisville, New York with Steve Brink, my best friend. And I'm married. And God did something. I said, you know, Steve, if I could switch places with you, I'd do it. I'd give you heaven. Blew him away. If it's so great, why would you do that? Because I know how valuable it is. And I sure as heck don't want to see you languishing in hell when we die. And I love Paul's heart. These people that want to kill him, these people that are really being cruel to the man. Oh, I would give it up for you guys. God, I pray for New Covenant that our hearts would indeed be broken by what breaks your hearts, Lord God. See, this is what being a born-again follower of Jesus is all about. We're not here to accumulate wealth. We're not here to get position. We are here to be servants of the Most High God. We are here to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I admit, evangelism is not one of my strongest gifts, but I'm working on it, and I'm praying, Lord, and we all need to pray, Lord, give me one person this week that I need to tell you. To tell them about you, excuse me. You see, I want to view the world through the lens of the Holy Spirit. You know, this past week, I found out, I think Thursday night, that a good friend of Melody's and mine back from Peterborough had passed away. And you read all the accolades online. May he forever rest in peace. What if he's not? I know he's heard the gospel because I've done a couple of funerals in Peterborough that he was a part of. So I know he's heard the gospel. When I see that people pass, that's my heart. Lord, I don't want to think where they may be. And I'm not trying to be harsh today. I'm trying to say, God, everybody is welcome. New Covenant, one of the testimonies of this church is welcoming and reaching out to people. But the love of God was so powerful in Paul, he was willing to sacrifice it for other people. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Doesn't seem like it sometimes, does it? As some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. It has to be us. I want to see people repent. I want to see God move. We need to brace for impact. And what I mean by that is we need to impact other people. I find that I draw near to God and I stay close to him. I operate in his gifting and his power and his strength and his direction. I don't want to rely on me, nor do I want you to rely on yourself. Just like I said, as I'm reading through all these accolades of my friend that passed, I'm going, Lord, I hope he's with you. That has to be a heart. Who do you know that God wants you? Who's in your life? Because they're not in your life just for happenstance. Tell you what I really do believe. I believe that God does not give me friendships with the unsaved just so I can be their friend. I don't believe that. I believe God places people in my life so that I can impact them for Jesus Christ. That they can see it by how I live, they can see it by how I talk. I think Greg Laurie wrote this week, and I like what he said. We just as I am comfortable talking to you about the NBA or Syracuse, well, maybe not basketball, Syracuse football, I gotta be comfortable talking to you about Jesus Christ in my everyday language. Now, maybe you're with a friend and you're not, and they're just holding you at arm's length. I tell you what I do, I pray, Lord, do you still want me to invest in this person's life? Because if they keep saying no, there are times when God says, hey, you're not getting fruit, look elsewhere. Jesus let the rich young ruler walk away. That was his choice. But there's also times when people really give me a hard time, God goes, oh, hang in there. And I say, oh, I don't wanna kill him. God says, shut up and disobey me. Break your heart with what breaks mine. And I've done it, and it's hard. I don't like hanging out with antagonistic people that tell me I'm an idiot because of my faith. But sometimes God says, big deal. We need to draw near to God. It's easy for us to get lured into living day by day. I need to pay the bills. I need to get this done. Don't you love this time of year? You look outside, 3 in the morning, do I have to get up early? Does snow blow, or can I sleep a little longer? We get caught up in life, but we can't have that mentality. We can't hide a survivalist mentality. Sorry, didn't mean to go there yet. Got excited. I have always believed we're supposed to be a spiritual hospital. Now, some of the wards are really cool in the hospital. You go see the little, like my kids are born, it is so cool seeing all those little babies. That is a good place to be in a hospital. My dad was an ambulance driver. He did a lot of time in the emergency room. I've been in some ugly situations in emergency rooms. So being a spiritual hospital, we're gonna have some cute little babies. And we're gonna have some people that have been absolutely a train wreck. And their lives are messy. God wants us to love them. God wants us to reach out to them and say, hey, I know life's hard, but oh, let me tell you about Jesus. See, the devil wants us to look at the everyday rather than the eternal. One of the big lies I've talked to people about is, I remember a buddy of mine, no, Patty, from Copenhagen, had brain surgery, and I'm talking to a friend of hers in the waiting room, whatever it was, and she said, I gotta come to church when my life turns around. You know, Patty didn't wait for the brain surgery till she got better, right? You don't wait till you get healed till you go to the hospital. So I tell people, oh man, you should see my church. It's a mess with these people. No, I don't really. But you need Jesus. See, people, let's be real. Look at this building. Does it not cry out religion? God has a sense of humor. When we went to the school, I thought I'd been delivered. Now we came back here. Praise God, I love it. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't matter where you meet. It matters how you treat people. If you love people, invite them. And if you invite them, don't invite them. Take them out to coffee first and bring them. It's less intimidating. I'm not worthy. Matthew was a thief. He was a tax collector. The Apostle Paul hunted Christians down, gave them up probably for death. Simon the Zealot, he was a terrorist. Oh, but God can't love me. Get over yourself. Your sin isn't bigger than Jesus Christ. And we have to be comfortable dealing with people that, if we had a choice, we wouldn't deal with. God's heart is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We need the same outlook. We need to reach out to people. We need to allow to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. How about your neighbors? Are there any neighbors that really make you itch? Got some. Maybe those are the ones God wants me to reach out to. It ain't about me. My time can't be about me. Who I have over for dinner can't be about me. I pray, Lord, what is it you want? I remember I'm a young Christian. I'm at Morrisville. I'm from Morrisville. We were visiting my parents, and I'm running around the track. And I see Pete Palmer at the high school, at the elementary school. He was my baseball coach. And God said to me, go repent. I said, what? Because I was an idiot in high school. I didn't know the Lord. I'm not getting into it. I remember my senior year, I was a co-captain. I come to a game with my shirt unbuttoned, long hair. I just looked like a mess. And after that, I wasn't a captain anymore. But anyways. So I walk over and said, and I'm shaking like a leaf in a tree. I say, Mr. Palmer, I'm a born-again Christian now. I really want to repent by how I treated you. He goes, you're a high schooler. Then he walked me to my parents' house, and he was happy that I changed my life around, and we talked. Being a Christian is not about being comfortable. This isn't Christianity. It is, because we had to meet together. Don't get me wrong, and not come next week. But it's not being comfortable. I find that when I get comfortable, I know, oh man, something's coming. I don't know where you are today, but you're never too far away from God. Jesus is reaching out. And I continue to ask God to give me his love for others. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I cry out, like next week we're having a day of prayer and fasting. Well, I don't think anybody likes to fast because you can't eat when you're fasting. And I find when I give it to the Lord, it's still a struggle at times, but it's so much easier. So just maybe you just skip breakfast. Or whatever, but just draw near to God and pray. Pray for God to move in this community. Pray for God to move in this church. And just say, Lord, show us who you want us to reach out to. Because I'm going to brace for impact, Lord. I want to impact people for you. But we all need to be sanitized by God. One of the best things that ever happened in the world is this. I had this way before COVID. I've had this about 20, I love me some hand sanitizer. We need to be sanitized by God. I ain't talking about no hand sanitizer. James, again, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Whoa. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do you have secret sin in your life? Do you have places where you struggle? I'm not condemning you. Hopefully God's convicting you, which is his way of showing you how he doesn't want you to act. But James is saying here, get near to God. Sometimes our lives are a mess. If you go on, if I read the next verse when I did communion in Corinthians, Paul goes, that's why some of you are sick and died, because you did communion the wrong way. So what he's saying here is, what I'm saying to us is, you need to look at your life and say, what am I doing maybe that God doesn't want me to do? But I struggle with this for a year. Okay, don't give into it. Don't give into it and just say, yeah, this is how I am. I was talking to a guy once that had a problem with the internet. He goes, well, when I get an urge, I think I should just look at it, then maybe the urge will go away. I said, it doesn't work that way. It's just going to ingrain something more in you. So you can give me a call, we can meet, whatever. Don't give in to that. Ask God for help. See, everybody is welcome, but we need to follow God's lead. The gospel is God sent Christ to die for us. But we have a part to play. God, forgive me. You're not done. Then you repent. The ministry of John the Baptist was repentance. Then we say, you know, repentance is, hopefully I got it. I may not. Yes, a change of heart, mind, in actions that involves turning away from sin and back to God. Dick Beaumont, pre-Jesus, I should not act that way anymore. My life has to reflect the fact that I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. By my actions, by my words, by how I treat people, by how I spend my money, by my life. A change of heart, change of actions. We turn from sin, we turn toward God. And there's too many of us, you're trying to walk a tightrope. I can be one foot in the world. No, you can't. Don't get near that line. If your right hand causes you to sin, maybe you shouldn't be on the computer when nobody else is in the room. We have to take actions to prevent us falling into sin. I have a few people, I've said before, you know, I get together weekly with Wade Smith, and he has free rein to ask me any question in the book. How are my finances? How's my thought life? How am I spending my money? Why? I want to be accountable. Accountability is a great thing, so I live the way that Jesus Christ wants me to live. We need to have the cry of the psalmist, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. And right now, the devil is telling you, you can't change because you've dealt with this for years. Kick him in the pants, because you can change through the power of Jesus Christ. There might need to be places you repent. In fact, there probably is. There's places I need to repent. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Peace comes when we follow God's lead. You know, maybe you've been stumbling lately. Maybe you've been caught up in the cycle of sin, and I know how it is. You feel dirty. You feel like a failure, so you take a step back. And then it grips you more. And you take a step back and you isolate. And it grips you even more. To pretty soon, man, you're a full-blown prisoner. God's saying, oh, today is the day to break free. Because this is what God's doing today. God's saying, man, you're in the right place. You're welcome. I'm going to set you free when you ask. Isaiah says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Whoa. God's up there, pointing down at the Beaumont kid. He's mine. Is God pointing down at you today going, oh man, you're mine. I got to tell you what. Saw my grandkids yet, my grandbabies yesterday. And no better feeling. He's in the bounce house. Grandpa! And he calls my name. But you know what's even better? When Jesus Christ calls my name. He goes, you're mine. So maybe the enemy's been lying to you saying, no, you ain't. God's saying, you're mine if you surrender. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. We need to know we're God's. We need to get right with God. Maybe that means you need to repent. Maybe you got to ask for forgiveness. If you need prayer at the end of the service, come on up. Or turn to the person next to you, because, man, they got power too. Just say, would you just pray for me? You don't have to get specific, and just have them pray for you. Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to go through hardship. That's why we had the prayer list at the end of the bulletin. But it means they can't steal your salvation. They can't steal your relationship with God. That no matter what this world or the devil throws at us, I remember one thing. Hey, you know what, God? You have redeemed me. You have called me by name. I'm his. I'm not afraid of death. I want it to be painless. I'm a chicken. But I'm not afraid of death. Go, man, I'm going to be with Jesus. I can't wait. I want to take as many people with me as I can. So today, God is calling each and every one of us by name. Are you going to respond? Are you going to respond? But I've been a Christian for how many years? Okay, good. Have you repented lately? Have you got before God and said, God, create in me a clean heart? Because guess what? Maybe nobody else knows your struggles, but I guarantee God does. You ain't going to hide nothing from him. Was it Sarah who said, hey, you know, she got a million years old, and you're going to be pregnant? She laughs. And she comes up to the end, I didn't laugh. No, you really did. I mean, come on, you ain't hiding nothing from God. You know, old people, that's not a prophecy. We need to respond. So as we come to the close, please, and I'm dead serious. Some of you are people person, some of you are more introverted. I get that. But we need to pray, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. We have to make sure drawing near to God is a top priority. We all struggle with it. At the end of the December, I was watching, you know, listening to this podcast I listened to, and they talked about reading through the Bible in 1 year. And I've never done that, because a lot of times when I've tried it, I just read to check the box. But they're saying, well, here's what you do. You start with Matthew, and you look at all the Old Testament references. That's a lot. And I remember as I read that and I heard that, something clicked inside of me. And I felt excited. And I knew it was God telling me to go ahead and do this. God, it's January 26th. I have not done it yet. Am I going to rob myself of the blessing of God? Absolutely. Am I going to do it? Absolutely. I'm going to turn to God. So I got to make sure drawing near to him is important. We need to be genuine. We need to impact others for Jesus. We also need to repent and be cleansed. So would you bow your heads with me? Words come easy, Lord. When Paul wrote that in Romans, when I think about the depth of what he was willing to do, and I know they weren't just empty, shallow words, to give up his relationship with you in exchange for somebody else. I really can't understand that. I don't want the words "break my heart for what breaks yours" just to be a line in a song. That's nice. I want that to be the cry of my heart, God. I want that to be my life. That I have your compassion for the needy. That I have your compassion for those that are not in relationship with you, God. That we would look at life eternally. Good people don't go to heaven, Lord. Because by your standards, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none that good, no, not one. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Lord, help us to stop falling away from you, Lord. Help us to draw near, to not do it legalistically, but to do it relationally, Lord. You see, I'm not about religion, Father. I'm about relationship with the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have redeemed me. You call me by name. You say, man, I'm yours. Lord, we need to be genuine, not play a part, not be super Christian, but to be real. That ministers to people. You want us to impact others for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would get comfortable just talking about you and talking about what you have done for our lives in everyday conversations, Lord God. Oh, and I know the first time it comes up, our heart is going to be beating. We're going to have sweat on the brow. What if they reject us? I find that when I do it and they reject me, I walk away and say, huh, that really didn't hurt. Because I'm obeying you, God. So let us make an impact for you, Lord. And I pray, starting with me, that we would all look at our hearts and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me if how I treat people isn't how you want me to, Lord. Show me if I let myself say some things, words that come from my mouth that shouldn't, Lord God. But help us say, Lord, I want to be yours. And I pray for anybody, Lord, that maybe they're struggling with a certain sin. They keep stumbling. Let them pick themselves up and go on. But let them turn to you for help, Lord God. It's not an easy process. Paul writes, the things I should not do, I do. The things I should do, I do not do. If that great man of faith had struggles, we will too, Lord. But we can't give in to the struggles and say, this is who I am. See, I'm redeemed, Lord. I need to live that way. So I pray that you would encourage everybody that hears these words, Lord, that they would know how much you love them, that you wish nobody would perish, but all would come to relationship with you, Lord God. I thank you for this marvelous church, Lord. Pray that you would encourage and bless them today. And Jesus, please get all the glory, for we are here to honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings and have a great day.